Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. I'm very excited about this special issue of the AnvaCast because my guest is Chief John Batista of the Washington State Patrol. Chief, thank you so much for joining us to be part of this issue of AnvaCast.
And thank you for the invite, and I'm very happy to participate.
Many of you listening know Chief, know who he is. I was joking with him earlier. He is nothing short of a legend in the ANVA and the law enforcement community. And Chief, I only say that only half tongue in cheek, because I have to be honest, you know, I've now been part of the ANVA community for a little bit more than a decade, and you were already there and established and well-known and so highly respected. I would love if you could take me back to when you first got involved with ANVA, how it first came on your radar, and what your first connection was to the ANVA organization.
Well, I first became involved with ANVA as a young captain back in 1993 at the insistence of my chief at the time. So I'm very thankful for him for introducing me to ANVA and asking me to be a part of the community. It's been a great ride.
And you've, as your career has progressed with the Washington State Patrol over the years, you've continued that engagement. It was not a one and done for you in any way. You've served on different groups and committees and are currently our advisor, law enforcement advisor and board advisor to the board of directors representing the law enforcement voice, which is not your first time doing that either. For those that are listening and are maybe less familiar with the overlap between the law enforcement world and the motor vehicle world, talk to me a little bit about why you have found it throughout your career so important to take the time out of your schedule to be part of these ANVA conversations.
Well, I found that our involvement with ANVA, particularly our DOL, Department of Motor Vehicle Partners, has been extremely important. We both serve the same customers, and many of the issues that we face are mutual to us. So ANVA has been a tremendous instrument for me in helping me meet the needs of my citizens here in the great state of Washington. I couldn't imagine doing it without the partnership that we have long established with our own Washington State Department of Licensing and the ANVA community across the country and our partners up in Canada.
And that partnership with the DOL there in Washington State, that's it's not a new partnership, but it's one that I think, from my understanding, has really grown and prospered during your tenure. You've had multiple partners on the DOL side, you know, over the course of time. Talk to me about how that close relationship is able to benefit your team, the DOL team, and protect the citizens in Washington.
Well, it's about the opportunity to collaborate on things of mutual interest. It's an opportunity to use the assistance of ANVA to have an insight into what's happening with regards to licensing, be it vehicle, driver licensing, issues of facing us with regards to traffic matters, laws coming out of the federal government, as well as our own state legislative body. It's an opportunity to have our finger on the pulse of what's happening, not only within the bounds of the state of Washington, but what's trending across the country and how are folks handling things that we can use to our advantage rather than reinventing the wheel. So that family communications and sharing of information with one another is essential.
And you have been very supportive over the years of not only, you know, you've made the time yourself, but you have been very supportive of your team members being part of different committees and working groups at ANVA. Many officers and other folks from WSP have sat on different working groups. So it's not only been yourself making the time, but you've really encouraged the folks that work for you to also get involved in ANVA. I'm sure there are other colonels and chief executives that are listening to this podcast. Could you share with them why you've made that such a priority for your team?
Well, it's a true benefit. In order for them to be the most effective as they can be in doing their jobs, it's important that they do the same thing I do at the executive level, work with a set of peers from around the country to find out what is the latest and most novel ideas that are being exercised, what are the challenges that we not only face, but they're facing, and what approaches are we exercising in order to properly resolve situations that we're all facing, properly serve the community that we're all serving. And it's also important that we start building that legacy when myself and the exec team looks to transition out, and we have a group of individuals who are already very confident and comfortable with dealing with the Anvil community, that they know that there's a benefit to having done so, and we want to ensure that they continue that. Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about facing the challenges and the issues of the day. Certainly right now, there are no shortage of challenges and issues that are facing public agencies and especially law enforcement agencies. Talk to me about your perspective, Chief, on this next phase of challenges and what it means, particularly for law enforcement in the ANVA community that are focused on highway safety law enforcement, and the challenges that we're going to be tackling over the next coming months and years.
Well, there's so much going on, Ann, that it's important that we all realize that we're not on an island unto ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's where the communications and collaboration amongst ANVA peers is so important. We're all facing monetary shortages, newly brought on by the COVID situation that's affected the economic communities that we all serve drastically. So we know that we're going to have to make budgetary adjustments. Many of us are already running short-staffed, and this will only make that steeper in terms of a hill to climb. So it's important that we find unique and innovative ways to make things happen. I hate to use the term doing more with less, but unfortunately, we're becoming quite good at that. Mm-hmm. So it's important to use technology to the best of our advantage, and just also sharing ideas and approaches so that we can get through this together. And with the civil unrest that's going on, you know, we want to ensure that we're all properly serving the communities that we engage and serve, and that's all communities. We want to ensure that we're not creating a divide or the mental thought of an existing divide amongst any group of communities that we serve. Mm-hmm. So the outreach amongst ourselves is essential, but it's very essential also that we ensure that we do outreach to those communities, particularly those communities of color who are feeling left out. We want to ensure that we embrace them, we listen to them, and we invite them into our world to give them a better understanding of the who, what, why, and where do we do things. And then we listen to them in terms of what is it that is of a concern to them when it comes to us in this business of law enforcement. What do they think we can do better in order to break down barriers?
And how is that going in Washington State? You know, I think there's different levels of conversation spread geographically throughout the nation. Can you give us a peek into how it's going in your neck of the woods in Washington?
It's going well, but it's obvious that the circumstances that we all find ourselves in across the country only speaks volumes to the fact that we need to do more and we can do better. And that's our goal, and we'll continually seek out ways of doing that. Mm. We don't want to give anyone the impression that our mindset is it's us versus them. We are them, and we want people to know that. And we want them to feel like they are us. We are that tool, that resource that's available to helping them stay safe in their communities as they work, play, and enjoy their lives.
Yeah, it's well said, Chief. I think it's important to remember that it's not a choice of one or the other, right? You know, the community
that's
that you
correct.
Talked about supporting, reaching out to those communities, and at the same time supporting folks like you and your team to do the job that you have to do. You don't have to choose one or the other. You could do both.
That's correct. And one of the things we're working on, Ann, is we're greatly trying to diversify the agency to make certain that we reflect the community that we serve across the state. We've made some incremental strides over the course of the last decade, but we're nowhere near where we feel are, in our view, others feel that we should be. Mm. And so we're working hard to make improvements. And in order to make those improvements, we have to better communicate with the communities. We have to take ourselves to the locations, the communities that we're trying to recruit from. We have to actually go into those communities and meet with those folks, break bread with those folks, listen to those folks, and share with them what it is that we're all about, and listen to them as to why would there be any hesitancy from them in joining this outfit or in joining law enforcement, period. One of the fears I have is the recruiting component of this. With the fallout, I'm afraid that there is going to be even a greater struggle for us to recruit, particularly from communities of color. And now is a time that we need to actually do the best job we can and doing all we can to communicate and try and recruit people that look like the communities that we serve.
And recruiting was already a challenge to begin with. This was not an area that was, something that I know that you and your colleagues have been talking about for a number of years. And so now it's a challenge that's only been heightened, not a new challenge.
That's correct.
Yeah. So speaking of recruiting, I guess the other end of recruiting is kind of where you started your career. You mentioned as a young captain in 93, but your entry into the State Patrol predates that date.
That's correct. Yeah, I started this career in March of 1976. So I've seen a lot happen over the course of participating in five plus decades of law enforcement. So it's been a great ride. You know, I've had an opportunity to do some neat things and meet some wonderful people who've helped me along the way to get to where I'm at within this great organization that I serve within. And I'm very thankful for that. I stand on the shoulders of a lot of giants.
So, you know, what I can only imagine the changes and the different issues you've tackled over that time span from 1976 till now. And I guess in some ways, what's old is new again, in that, you know, some of these challenges that every time we think we're making progress, we kind of get reset and realize that there's so much more work to be done, even in areas where, you know, we thought we made progress, maybe we legitimately have made progress, and are then reminded it's time to get back to the basics.
That's very true. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we have a tendency to get, because we face change on a regular basis. People hold down positions, they transition out, and someone else comes in. So there's this continual change that takes place where some of the things that we put in place don't necessarily grow roots. So we've got to find a way to ensure that we sustain our good energies and our efforts that we put forth to ensure that they go forward and grow the fruit that we're hoping that they'll bear.
So you mentioned you've met lots of folks along the way that have been part of your career path. And I think we would be remiss not to recognize at least one that is a big part of your history on the State Patrol and part of our AMVA family, and that's Brian Arsino, our director of law enforcement at AMVA, who I am so blessed is, you know, part of the team that I get to work with every day. But your association and relationship with Brian is a story that I'm not sure many people really know or appreciate and would maybe get a kick out of hearing a little bit about your origins going back to the mid-70s.
Yeah, that's Brian and I have spent some great times together. You know, Brian and I worked the road together as troopers. We rode motorcycles together as troopers. I was promoted to the rank of sergeant, and Brian worked for me in research and development. And from there, as young troopers and sergeants, our careers have continually crossed paths. We've done some great things together for the agency, and we've been there to support each other in times of need. Oh, I watched Brian get hit on his motorcycle once while we were working traffic here in our great state, and took my breath away.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Chief, he always reminds me I'm the second best boss he's ever had.
I don't know about that. He's got a great boss. I really enjoy working with you. You do some great things for us and the family of AMVA.
Well, I think it's just a testament to you and your leadership and your career, which everyone is so appreciative that, you know, you can contribute to the AMVA conversation and continue that conversation about that nexus of law enforcement and licensing and vehicle registration, and that we have to be around the table together and that they're not separate silos.
Absolutely. Very essential. The public gets a better product out of all of us when we're working together.
Well, Chief, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes of your day to chat with us. I hope that you continue to stay safe and healthy. And I know you'll continue to do the great work for the folks in Washington. And we're so grateful that you're able to contribute to our national and, frankly, international conversation around law enforcement.
I appreciate that, and I wish everyone the very best and the best of health in this pandemic that we find ourselves in. It's good that we're keeping in contact with one another through means of using technology. Any way that we can find another way to get together without being together is essential during these times. So thank you for what it is that you and AMVA are doing to help ensure that we stay together.
Our pleasure. It's the least we can do. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks to our producer, Claire Jeffrey. And we'll see you next time on the AMVAcast.
Thank you for joining us for AMVAcast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.